أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله الذي من علينا بمحمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. وبأهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. أما بعد، قال الله تعالى في كتابه الكريم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. وقال الله تعالى في كتابه الكريم: قل لا أسألكم عليه أجرا إلا المودة في القربى. صدق الله العلي العظيم. According to our schedule, tonight we have to speak about the wilayat of Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, and that how important is the wilayat as far as our ibadat is concerned, and how integral it is with regard to our ibadat. But before that, I have been promising you that I am going to explain to you the meaning of salawat, and that how is it interconnected and how is it deeply related to our aqa'id. If you look at the salawat, basically it has tawheed, it has adalat, it has nubuwat, it has imamat, and it has qiyamat encapsulated. Although we don't realize, we just say that how can we try to ratify this, but if we ponder upon it, we will come to realize that in reality, yes, all these things are encapsulated there. And that is why you find that there is a lot of thawab a person can get, because there is amalus salih as well as iman amalgamated in one thing. You say the salawat, please. When a person says Allahumma, the reality of Allahumma is he says, O Allah. Now, there are two things that we must understand. Number one, he is calling one God, Allah. Therefore, he has tawheed in him. Otherwise, he would have said, O Allah, and O somebody else. But he has just said, O Allah, number one. Number two, he has also established that Allah has all asma'ullah, because the word Allah is ismul jami', the all-comprehensive name, which includes all other names. If you say Allah, that means that you have also said al-alim, al-kareem, al-jameel. Every name that you can ever think is there in Allah. So you have already believed, number one, that there is one God, because you are calling one entity who is Allah. Okay? Number two, that he is Allah, that means he has all the perfect attributes, out of which is adalat also. Therefore, adalat has also come in that, because one of the attributes of Allah is al-adl. So, tawheed and adl have been encapsulated in O Allah only, Allahumma. Number three, you are also ratifying this, that the attributes of Allah are infinite. Why? Because you are calling Allah. If Allah is near, you say, for example, you use another terminology, but the fact that you say, Ya Allah, you ratify that you are very far, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is far from you. Not that ontologically, existentially, Allah is very near to us. He is near than the jugular vein, as the Holy Quran says, نَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ حَبْلِ الْوَرِيدِ. But then the reality is that because we have very limited attributes, and Allah has limitless, and therefore, he is extremely remote. That is why we say, Ya Allah, we call Allah. We use the vocative, Ya Allah. So, Tawheed and Adl has been ratified there. Allahumma. Then you say, Salli ala Muhammad. Bless upon Muhammad. When you say Muhammad, you have in your mind that the Holy Muhammad is your prophet. He's a prophet of Allah, and you believe him as the last prophet. So nubuwwat is covered here also. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. And when you say wa ali Muhammad, the imamat is covered here. Because when you say ali Muhammad, you know in your mind that ali Muhammad are the a'imma alayhi salam. They were the successors of the Holy Prophet. So you find that imamat is there. And then ma'ad and qiyamat is also there. Why? Because when you say Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad, you are in reality asking the elevation of the Holy Prophet and his al. And elevation, the reality of elevation is going towards the level of qiyamah. Because as I said, qiyamah is a higher realm of existence. It is not a parallel realm of existence that will come about. No. It is a higher realm of the same existence that we have. So in reality, when you say Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad, you are in reality asking that for their upliftment, Muhammad and his al's upliftment. And that is the rujoo' ila Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that is what we call ma'ad. So you find that the whole aqa'id is encapsulated in salawat. Recite the salawat, please. Having discussed this, now we come to the issue of wilayat. And this is a very important issue, because alhamdulillah, all of us fervently believe in wilayat. But then the discussion of wilayat can be in two parts, and today we'll look at the first part, and that is hub, mawadda, that wilayat, that hub of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. What is the reality of this hub that we have of Ahlul Bayt, and how can we gauge ourselves that do we really love the Ahlul Bayt, or is it just rhetoric? Is it just something that we say that we love Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam and we have some feelings for it? How can we gauge that really this hub is that hub that is anticipated from us? This is something very important that we want to speak about. Now, when the subject of hub comes, scholars of ethics and gnosis have mentioned that the primary segment of love is ma'rifah, knowledge. It is 100%. You can't say that I love, for example, this car without having seen the car, without having known the car, for example. Very small example, simple example that I'm giving you. Or you can't say that I love to go in a certain country when you have not seen the country, when you have not known what is the country, how is the country, and so on. So the basic fundamental thing that we need when we want to get love is ma'rifah. You can't say that I love to marry with such and such a lady, and you have not seen the lady, you don't know who she is, and so on. This is a more tangible example. And therefore, love comes only after ma'rifah, after knowledge of the beloved. It is when you know the Ahlul Bayt alayhim afdalu salawatil musallim. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. That you will love them. You see, when we talk about the fadail of Imam Ali alayhi salam, when we talk about the fadail of Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam, for all these years, those who have come and spoken about the fadail have inculcated these fadail, the knowledge of these fadail, and thereafter, the natural consequence is deep love for Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam. It's a natural consequence. Because we know who the Ahlul Bayt is, knowledge has come, and that is why that hub is there. That is why that love is there. If knowledge was not there, then love does not make any sense. That knowledge is there in our hearts. This is one point that we should understand when it comes to love. And another very important thing is this, that again, the stronger the knowledge, the stronger the love. When we say the stronger the knowledge, we talk about two basic kinds of knowledge. One knowledge is that of conceptual knowledge, the way we get, alhamdulillah, from the Mawlanas. Recite the salawat, please. After having looked at the history books about the fadail of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam, after having been taught, what comes is that which comes in our mind, isn't it? And thereafter, this love is developed slowly and gradually. But sometimes you imbue the characteristics of them in yourself. That means you manifest whatever Imam has, whatever the characteristics of the Imam have come to you. If he was, for example, pious, he had taqwa, you also developed taqwa. If, for example, he had ilm, you also developed ilm. If he was open-handed, you also developed that characteristic of open-handedness. And thereafter you come to realize that if I am the tip of the tip of the tip of the iceberg with regard to Imam Ali alayhi salam, and I have these characteristics, so what about Imam Ali alayhi salam? لا يقاس بنا أحد من المخلوقين. No one can compare us. And therefore, from here you come to realize that what is essential for us is that not this conceptual knowledge that we have been earning for all these years, but it's high time we should have a presential knowledge. We have to develop those characteristics so that you can imagine that what do the Imam alayhi salam really have. This is one very important point that I wanted to mention. Another very important point is that in the Holy Quran, when it comes to ajru risala, that what is the recompense and retribution of the risala is concerned, the ajr is known as mawaddatun fil qurba, that is love for the near ones. Now, it is not mahabbatun fil qurba, it is mawadda. Mawadda is a certain kind of love which is not like mahabba. The word mawadda comes from the word wud. And wood comes from the word watada. Watada is he nailed. When you nail, watad is nail. When you nail something down, you say watada. Mawadda is that constant love that is completely ingrained. That is known as mawadda. So when we say that ajru risala is mawadda, we should not only have that evanescent love, but that ingrained love that is constant love. That which sits in your heart and always stays with you, that is known as mawadda. Because every word that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses in the Holy Quran, He uses it with a certain connotation in mind. You'll find that sometimes when we write any article that we would like to write, or for example when we speak, we can interchange words. We have about, let's say, 10-15 synonyms for one word. So when we are talking about something, we say, we use one of them. We don't care. But when it comes to the Holy Quran, every word, you might say that this faqir and miskin is the same, but no. There is a connotation for miskin, there is a connotation for faqir. There is a connotation for hubb, and there is a connotation for mawadda. This is mawadda. Mawaddatan fil qurba. Now, a person may ask that, you know, Prophet is now, you know, telling us that mawaddatan fil qurba, that is the ajr. That means that again, he wants a kind of favorism that comes, you know. He wants us to favor his family. That's why he's saying mawaddatan fil qurba. Why mawaddatan fil qurba? What is the reality of mawaddatan fil qurba? Is it something like a favorism that he's talking about, that, you know, you love my family only? When I go, I don't want anything, but you know, because I love my family too much, love them. That is the ajru risala. No. You see, the Holy Quran, we are told, this is a very beautiful dictum that Imam Ali alayhi salam in Nahjul Balagha mentions. About the Holy Quran. That some parts of the Holy Quran comment and translate and expound other parts. Al-Qur'an yufassiru ba'duhu ba'dan. You can't just take one verse in isolation from the other verses. If you take that, then so many of the laws that we believe today would change, because you'll say that I've taken this. La taqrabu salat wa antum sukara. This is one of the verses of the Holy Qur'an. Do not near prayers when you are intoxicated. So you say, oh, that means I can be intoxicated, but I will not go near prayers. Then on the other verses you find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is prohibiting the intoxicant. So you can't look at one verse and discard the other verses. Or for example, the verse وَجَاءَ رَبُّكَ وَالْمَلَكُ صَفًّا صَفًّا, that your Lord and the angels came in rows. That means your Lord was a physical Lord. But if you look at other verses, لَا يُدْرِكُهُ الْأَبْصَارُ وَهُوَ يُدْرِكُ الْأَبْصَارُ وَهُوَ اللَّطِيفُ الْخَبِيرُ, that no visions can comprehend Allah, but He comprehends vision. That means, because He is infinite, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ, none is like Him. When you look at all these verses, you come to realize that verse that we talk about, وَجَاءَ رَبُّكَ وَالْمَلَكُ صَفًّا صَفًّا, is metaphoric. It's not something which is literal. If you take it literally, then you find that you are believing in a physical Lord who starts walking and coming in rows. We don't believe in that. So the Imam in Nahjul Balagha tells us that, you know, this is a very important principle. Al-Qur'an yufassiru ba'dahu ba'dan. Look at the Holy Qur'an as a whole. In our case also, in Mawadda, we look at the Qur'an as a whole. Now, you find in another very beautiful verse of the Holy Qur'an, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is in Surah Al-Furqan, verse number 57, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ, say to the Prophet, He says, قُلْ مَا أَسْأَلُكُمْ عَلَيْهِ مِنْ أَجْرٍ, I'm not asking any recompense for the Risala, إِلَّا مَنْ شَاءَ أَنْ يَتَّخِذَ إِلَى رَبِّهِ سَبِيلًا, except that anyone who wishes should take the way of to his Lord. That means, you know, the Prophet is saying, in that verse, he said, مَوَدَّةً فِي الْقُرْبَى. In this verse, it says that, اتَّخَذَ إِلَى, he says, إِلَّا مَنْ شَاءَ أَنْ يَتَّخِذَ إِلَى رَبِّهِ سَبِيلًا. That means, take the path of your Lord. So, taking the path of your Lord is what is known as حُبُّ أَهْلُ الْبَيْتِ عَلَيْهِمُ السَّلَامُ. It is not something which is segregated. If you say, حُبُّ أَهْلُ الْبَيْتِ عَلَيْهِمُ السَّلَامُ is something which is separate from following Islam, that is wrong. So if a person, if you want to decipher that a person literally follows Islam, see that he loves the Ahlul Bayt or not. If he doesn't love the Ahlul Bayt, he doesn't have Islam. If he loves the Ahlul Bayt but he doesn't follow Islam, then he doesn't love the Ahlul Bayt. These two verses amalgamate together, Al-Qur'an yufassir ba'duhu ba'dan. And that is why you will find that in one beautiful dictum, Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam says, نَحْنُ الصَّلَاةِ نَحْنُ الدِّينِ نَحْنُ الصَّوْمِ. Beautiful. He says, we are Salat, the Ahlul Bayt. We are Zakat. We are Sawm. نَحْنُ الدِّينِ. We are religion. That beautiful shi'r we talk about when we mention Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. شَهْ أَسْتَ حُسَيْن فَادِشَهْ أَسْتَ حُسَيْن دِينَ أَسْتَ حُسَيْن كَدِي پَنَاهْ أَسْتَ حُسَيْن سَرْدَاد نَدَاد دَست در دست یزید حقاق بنا لا اله است حسین. We said دین است حسین. What is that? That means it's his religion. If you know that you are away from religion, you don't follow Imam Hussein alayhi salam. If you say that you don't, for example, love to pray on time and, for example, sacrifice in the way of Allah, you don't love Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Because دین است حسین شاہ است حسین Padisha Asta Hussein, Deen Asta Hussein, Kedi Pana Asta Hussein, he is the protector of religion. If you don't protect religion, then you don't follow Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. That is not that hub. That is a kind of hub that you think that you really love the Ahlul Bayt. Now this is the principle given by the Holy Quran. That you look at these two verses. In one verse, the Ajrul Risala, the recompense of what is the Risala is known as mawadda, extreme love, which is constant love. And in another verse, it says, not mawadda, but the one who takes the path of his Lord. That means both of these are one. And that is why in another verse of the Holy Quran, again, the same point is mentioned. That is Surah Ali Imran, verse number 31. Qul, it's a beautiful verse. Qul, say, in kuntum tuhibbuna Allah. If you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَاتَّبِعُونِي, then follow me. I narrate from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, follow me. يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ, Allah then will love you. So this is the qa'idah, this is the principle. that if you want to love the Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam, if you want to love the Prophet, you say, I love the Holy Prophet, then this is the mizan and this is the yardstick. If you follow him, then you love the Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam. If you don't follow him, then you are in a very lower degree of that love. And you should ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for getting a higher degree. Recite a salawat, please. And that is why you will find a very beautiful hadith from Imam Al-Baqir alayhi salam. Addressing Jabir Al-Ju'fi, he says, Ya Jabir, balligh shi'ati anni as-salam. Tell my Shi'as, convey my Shi'as my salam. وَأَعْلِمْهُمْ And make them know, أَنَّهُ لَا قَرَابَةَ بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَ اللَّهِ That there is nothing like, you know, relationship between us and Allah. You know, near relationship, there is nothing like that. لا قرابة بيننا وبين الله عز وجل. ولا يتقرب إليه إلا بالطاعة له. And you cannot get near to him except by following him. يا جابر من أطاع الله وأحبنا فهو ولينا. O Jabir, whosoever follows Allah and loves us, then he is our friend. Then he is our lover. وَمَنْ عَصَى اللَّهُ And whosoever sins and does not obey Allah, لَمْ يَنْفَعْهُ حُبُّنَا It's a very strong statement that our love is not going to benefit him at all. لَمْ يَنْفَعْهُ حُبُّنَا That means that Ita'a and hub, the meaning of hub of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam is manifested when we really follow the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. Not that, you know, we have that extreme josh in our hearts that, oh, we are going to go for matam, we are going to hold majalis, we are going to do this. But when it comes to practicality, there is utter disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Obviously, I'm not addressing you, I'm addressing myself, and I'm also trying to tell you that this is something which is very important. For all these years, we also tangibly feel that we love the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. We sacrifice our wealth also for Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. But this is the mizan given from the Aimma alayhi salam, that if you really want to know that you love, then look whether you obey or disobey. When it comes to the levels of hub, the Aimma alayhi salam mentioned three levels of love for the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. This hadith is from Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salam. In which he says, Man ahabbana biqalbihi, whosoever loves us with his heart, wa nasarana biyadihi, and he helps us with his hands, wa lisanihi, and his tongue, fahuwa ma'ana fil ghurfati allati nahnu fiha. Ajeeb, this riwayah is so beautiful. If a person helps us, if a person loves us by his heart and assists us with his hand and his tongue, then he is going to be in the same room as we in the hereafter. For wa fi ghurfatina ma'ana, beautiful. All these three, obviously. This is the highest love that you can have. Then he says, وَمَنْ أَحَبَّنَا بِقَلْبِهِ And whosoever loves us with his heart. وَنَصَرَنَا بِلِسَانِهِ And helps us by his tongue. فَهُوَ دُونَ ذَلِكَ بِدَرَجَةٍ Then he is at a lower stage than that. Then he says, وَمَنْ أَحَبَّنَا بِقَلْبِهِ Whosoever loves us with his heart. وَكَفَّ بِيَدِهِ وَلِسَانِهِ فَهُوَ فِي الْجَنَّةِ But he does not help us by his tongue or by his hand, then he is going to be in Jannah, but in a lower stage. Obviously, this means that he has to go to the hellfire of Barzakh and burn, and then get purified, or then if he has so many sins, according to another hadith, which is very lengthy, and I don't want to mention here, one of the companions of Imam Al-Baqir alayhi salam, confides with the Imam and says that, you know, we are your Shias. Will we go to heaven by Shafa'a? And he's told, no, don't think it's so easy. No. If you are a sinful person, you love us. That's good. Love us, no problem. But then, if you have a lot of sins, such that in the hereafter also you have to burn, you will burn in Barzakh, hereafter also, and then you will go to Jannah. This is one category. Another category would burn in Barzakh, but in the hereafter they would be clean. And another person, others would suffer, for example, let's say the last month of their lives, or 5-6 days of their lives, or 1 day of their lives, and because of that qabdur ruh, which is so difficult, that would cleanse them. Because if you go and see the reality of qabdur ruh, it is this. If a person were to take out your one tooth, just like that, without anesthetics, just like that, you can imagine the pain that you will sense. Why do you sense the pain? Because this one tooth is separated from your ruh. It's not from the body. Otherwise, you know, you take, for example, if a person's hand is amputated, and then even if it is minced there near you, you don't feel it, isn't it? Because this is not there with ruh. But when one tooth comes out, you can imagine the pain. So what about if the whole body is now separating the ruh? The pain is so extreme that words are beyond expression. But obviously those people who struggle in this world and purify themselves, they are told, mutu qabla an tamutu, die before you die. That means that make yourself so powerful that you can remove your soul while you are still in this world, while angel of death has not come and taken your soul. So this is the reality. And therefore, some people suffer at this time. And some people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because in some riwayat he said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you a sickness, which is, for example, muzmin, like cancer, and other sicknesses which are very painful. Why? Because He wants slowly and gradually to take out those sins that you have committed. And slowly and gradually He purifies you. We have seen people who are in the state of coma for about 10 years, or 5 years, or 4 years. Everything has a hikmah. On the other hand, you find there are people who are, you know, doing so bad things, and they are getting so good life and all the wealth and all that. We should not think that these people are lucky, no, because what is waiting for them in the hereafter is extreme. It is beyond our comprehension. So it's very important to know that this is the reality when it comes to the stages of mawadda, and we should strive that at least we come to that stage that we can at least help them by our tongues and by our hands also, so that we can stay in the same room as they are in the hereafter. Recite a salawat, please. Now there is one ambiguity that comes about, which is also very important, and which relates to our Muslim brothers, let's say. For example, you are told that a certain Sahabi of the Prophet was Farooq, okay? That means he could distinguish between right and wrong easily. You are told that a certain Sahabi is Siddiq. That means he was extremely truthful and he was constantly truthful. Or you are told that this person is from the, you know, he is a living shaheed, for example, and so on, about the Sahaba. And you are told this from sources which you trust. Obviously, wouldn't you love them? You love them. Even if in reality, they were not good people. All these are concoctions. I remember some time ago, there was a TV program that I was seeing, where a Sahabi was described, that he was so powerful that he could vision beyond, and he did this and he did that, and you know, he was one of the great saints and so on. And I know who that Sahabi is. I've seen the life history, and I've seen how he disturbed the Holy Prophet and all that. I know about that. Now, I know about it 100%. Those people who are told about this would love that Sahabi, yes or no? Obviously, they would love. Therefore, it's not their fault. Is it their fault? It's not their fault. The reason is because they are told that way. Just now, if a person whom you really trust comes to you and tells you, you know, the reality is that Muawiyah was a Sharif person, extremely. Like what I really tangibly heard in one of the places, in one of the mosques overseas, that, you know, كانت معاوية من أجلة الصحابة. That Muawiyah was from the greatest Sahaba of the Prophet. I heard this in Mina. And you know, I was astounded and I was surprised that, you know, at this time, there is time for jokes here, you know. In this land where we want to do ibadah, there are times for jokes, you know. Because Imam Ali alayhi salam has given us two qa'idah about this person. Two things. Very, very simple. He says, من كان همه ما يدخل في بطنه كانت قيمته ما يخرج منه. Whosoever's aspiration is what gets into his stomach, his value is what comes out from him. This is one qa'idah he has given. And we know that Muawiyah was extremely like that. He was always after food, and you know, such that once the Prophet called him many times and he didn't respond. So the Prophet cursed him and said, La ashba Allah batna. May Allah not satisfy you. Now if it is like that, then his hum was what is getting inside his stomach, then you know what his value is. Anyway, now this is something that obviously you have to go to history and ratify and see what is history. But let's say a person were to praise him extremely, give you even riwayat about it and tell you in a very cool way, you know, this is something which is very important. You will start loving Muawiyah, am I right or not? Yes, because you don't know the reality. Now, if you are told about Imam Ali alayhi salam, that, you know, he was not praying on time, ma'adallah, na'udhu billah, he was, for example, a kafir, the way the Khawarij and other people propagated so much that Allama Amini started saying that in Ghadir I was trying to prove that Imam Ali alayhi salam was a Muslim. One of the things, that was the mazlumiyat of Imam Ali alayhi salam. Somebody was saying that really Imam Ali was praying? This is what they asked, because they disseminated a lot of things against Imam Ali alayhi salam. Now if a person again understands or comprehends this about Imam Ali alayhi salam, then he would not like Imam Ali alayhi salam. He would start hating, isn't it? Because he has got wrong information. Now look at this hadith painstakingly, what Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam says. He says, لو أن رجلا أحب رجلا لله لأثابه الله على حبه إياه وإن كان المحبوب في علم الله من أهل النار. If a man loves a man for the sake of Allah, for example, you love one of the Sahabi for the sake of Allah, Allah would reward him for his love for that person, even if the beloved in Allah's knowledge were from the people of the hellfire. Why? Because he loves the other person because of his good qualities. He doesn't know the reality is that person had bad qualities. And then he says, and if a man were to hate a man for the sake of Allah, Allah would reward him for his hatred for the latter, even if the disliked one is from the people of paradise. So from here you come to realize that, you know, many of the Muslims, it's not their fault. It's not that, you know, you have to rebuke them or something, no. It's only the person who knows the fadail of Imam Ali alayhi salam and yet goes against. We have a group of people, and by now you know who they are, that they hate the Ahlul Bayt alayhi Musa. Such that I remember in one of the scenarios, one person was saying that, you know, Muawiyah's one hair is better than Imam Hussein alayhi salam. This is how I witnessed in a land which was so pure near the Qubur of A'imma alayhim salam. This is what it is. You know, when history tells you quickly and clearly, today, you know, from Sunni sources we know who Imam Hussein alayhi salam is. We have Sunni books praising Imam Hussein alayhi salam, naming him as Sayyidul Shuhada, praising Imam Ali alayhi salam. All these things are clear, but despite that, this is known as kufr. You know what is right, but still you hide it. This is where, you know, this person is at fault. But there are many times you are told something wrong. Obviously, alhamdulillah, we praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we have got history which is intact. Our scholars, when they try to find out the reality, they don't just take one riwayah and say, okay, because this riwayah says, we accept. No. They have a lot of riwayah from tawatur, when they have a successive number of riwayat, then they do the hukm. But we have a group of people who don't do that. Just one riwayah is kafi for them to prove the validity of a certain person. For example, Yazid. I heard when I was in Iran, I heard a Yemeni person saying, yes, we know Mutawakkil, la'natullah alayhi, the one who tried to destroyed the grave of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, because people were going there. They said, we know Mutawakkil hated Imam Ali alayhi salam, but you know, he was Amirul Mu'mineen. He's adamant, he's Amirul Mu'mineen, he's Sultan, so we have to be obedient to him. We have such obedience. So in cases of such opinions, you know that these people now are adamant. Despite knowing the truth, they are adamant. Recite a salawat. In the khutbah of Sha'ban, that is very famous, it is said that a group of companions of the Holy Prophet, as well as Imam Ali alayhi salam, were sitting down near the Prophet, and the Prophet gave the fadail of the holy month of Ramadan in detail. A time came when Imam Ali alayhi salam stood up and said, Ya Rasulullah, ma afdalul a'mal fi hadha al-shahr? O Messenger of Allah, which is the best of actions in this month? So the Holy Prophet said, Ya Abul Hasan, afdalul a'mal fi hadha al-shahr al-wara' an maharimillah azza wa jal. The best of deeds in this month is to stay away from sins and disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. ثُمَّ بَكَى. Thereafter the Holy Prophet starts crying. قَالَ لَهُ أَمِيرُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ مَا يُبْكِيكَ. Imam Ali alayhi salam, addressing the Prophet, says that, Ya Rasulullah, what is making you weep? قَالَ يَا عَلِي أَبْكِي لِمَا يُسْتَحَلُّ مِنْكَ فِي هَذَا الشَّهْرُ. O Ali, I am crying for what will happen to you in this holy month of Ramadan. كَأَنِّي بِكَ وَأَنْتَ تُصَلِّي لِرَبِّكَ. It is as if I am near you and you are praying to your Lord. وَقَدْ إِنْبَعَثَ أَشْقَى الْأَوَّلِينَ وَالْآخِرِينَ شَقِيقُ عَاقِرِ نَاقَةِ صَالِحِ فَيَضْرِبُكَ ضَرْبَةً عَلَى مَفْرَقِ رَأْسِكَ. He said that while I am near you and you are praying to your Lord, the worst person, أَشْقَى الْأَوَّلِينَ وَالْآخِرِينَ, comes up and hits you on your head. وَيَشْقَهُ نِسْفَيْنَ وَيَخْضَبْ لِحْيَتَكَ مِنْ دَمِ رَأْسِكَ. As a result of which, your blood spurts out and even gets up to your beard. فَقَالَ يَلَهُ أَمِيرُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامُ. Imam Ali alayhi salam tells the Holy Prophet, Ya Rasulullah, وَذَلِكَ فِي سَلَامَةٍ مِّن دِينِي. O Messenger of Allah, would that be in such a way that my religion is safe? فَقَالَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَّلَّمْ فِي سَلَامَةِ دِينِكَ. It's going to be while the religion is going to be safe. ثُمَّ قَالَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمْ. Then the Prophet said, Ya Ali, مَنْ قَتَلَكَ فَقَدْ قَتَلَنِي. O Ali, whosoever kills you verily has killed me. وَمَنْ أَبْغَضَكَ فَقَدْ أَبْغَضَنِي. Verily one who hates you has hated me. وَمَنْ سَبَّكَ فَقَدْ سَبَّنِي. Verily who abuses you abused me. لِأَنَّكَ مِنِّي كَنَفْسِي. Because you are from me like myself. And on the 19th night, Imam Ali alayhi salam eagerly waits for that moment. And when he goes to the mosque to pray, Ibn Muljim comes and does the worst action he can ever do. And after having hit Imam Ali alayhi salam, Imam Ali alayhi salam is quickly taken to his house. And no one is allowed to come to his house. One of his companions, Al-Asbaq bin Nubata, says that I knocked the door. And I knocked it in such a way that Imam Hassan alayhi salam came out and said, Asbaz, return. Imam Ali alayhi salam is not in a good state. Asbaz said, I cannot return. I don't have the power to return. Thereafter, Imam Hassan alayhi salam gets in the house and asks permission from Imam Ali alayhi salam. And Imam Ali alayhi salam allows Asbaz to enter. Asbaq says, فَدَخَلْتُ عَلَىٰ أَمِيرِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. I came to Imam Ali alayhi salam, فَإِذَا هُوَ مُسْتَنَدٌ.
معصوب الرأس بعمامة صفراء فلم أشعر أن وجهه أشد صفرة من العمامة أو العمامة.
He says that when I came, I saw Imam Ali alayhi salam. He had tied a bandage on himself which was yellow in color, and I did not recognize whether his face was more yellow or that thing that he had tied. وَقَدْ نَزَفَ الدَّمِ, and a lot of blood had come out from him. وَاسْفَرَّ وَجْهُهُ, and his face was pale. فَأَكْبَبْتُ عَلَيْهِ فَأَقَبَّلْتُهُ وَبَكَيْتُ. I fell on his knees and I kissed him and I started crying. فقال لي لا تبكي يا أسبغ فإنها والله الجنة. He said, oh Asbagh, do not cry, for verily I can witness paradise. ألا لعنة الله على القوم الظالمين فسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون.